Amen. Good to see y'all this morning. Wonderful Sunday morning crowd, and I am excited about this morning's service. Just thankful for the good singing, and boy, just a sweet spirit. I appreciate it so very much. And like I said earlier, too, thankful for the family conference. Thank you for those that prayed and attended. And if you weren't able to attend it, I would encourage you to go online and look at the messages that were preached. And I guarantee you, you won't regret it. It will be a good use of your time to listen to the messages Brother Camp brought on the home, on the family. And to be honest with you, as I was thinking about it, Brother Ricky, you know, those messages were applied to the home, but many of them were just messages of revival. And they really just hit right where we needed it. And just thank God for Brother Camp. Thank you so much for taking such good care of God's servant. We were able to take up a wonderful love offering for he and Mrs. Camp. And I know that blessed them and encouraged them. And I appreciate that so much. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus this morning, I believe the Lord would have me go here this morning as a follow-up from Brother Camp's messages and just from the Renewing the Home Conference. We'll be in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Again, like I said, it's so good to see visitors here this morning. Always thankful to see visitors and always thankful to see members, especially those that, you know, we've been praying for health-wise, for healing. And it's good to see Brother Bill Weatherly back with us. Man, thank you, brother. Thank you for making it today. Brother Bill had that very serious heart surgery a month and a half now? And just recovering from that, the Lord is helping him and encouraging him. It's good to see you here, brother, and thankful for the Lord's healing in your life, and thank you for your ministry to us. And just also, just want to update you real quick on Ms. Elizabeth. Those of you that may be wondering, she is back at the Oaks. They brought her to the hospital just briefly yesterday. There were some complications. She was a little confused and having some issues there, but she got her to the hospital, and we visited with her yesterday, and she is really back to normal in her mind and her thinking. She's got her bearings straight, and so they have her back at the Oaks and going to start rehabilitation. So be praying for her. I will mention this to you just because after talking with her and her niece Cindy, we're going to try to minimize we're going to try to restrict the hours that we go and visit Ms. Elizabeth, because one of the problems is she's not getting much rest. And what happens when visitors come at various hours all throughout the day, when she could be napping or whatnot, it's throwing her off a little bit. So what we're going to do is just say from hours 8 to 10 in the morning would be a good time for you to be able to go if you're able to visit. And also, we talked about 4 to 6. That would also be an afternoon time, so that gives a morning and an evening time for you to go by and visit her. And if you have any questions about that, let me know. But she is definitely appreciative. I want you to know that. She has made several comments on how thankful the support she's gotten. And so if you want to write a card to her, I know that would be an encouragement to her. And she can put those cards up in her room. But thank you for praying for Ms. Elizabeth. I know she appreciates it. If you could remember me in prayer, especially in this message, I don't think I'm going to lose my voice, but you can tell I sound a little clogged, and I am. Got a cold Wednesday night after the conference, and wasn't too bad, didn't get fever or anything, but it's just one of those things that it was my time. And so my poor family has dealt with it for so long now that I was just wondering when it was going to come to me, and it did. So you pray for me. I appreciate it. Well, we're going to be there in Exodus chapter 3. And would like to begin reading. I'd just like to read verse 11, and then I'm going to give a little bit of context. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" That's a good question. But it's a question that we all need to consider this morning. Coming out of that family conference, I don't know if you were like me, some of those messages, boy, they were just so filled with truth. And they were right what we needed. But sometimes when we hear the challenge of our responsibility as fathers and mothers and as children of the home, and whether you be a teenager or a young one or a grandparent, sometimes we hear these truths and we almost can get the idea of, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can meet up to that biblical standard. And it's tempting to almost start coming forth with some excuses of why we can't do what we were so thoroughly challenged with over this past week. The truth of the Word of God and the messages that Brother Camp brought forth hit us right where we needed it. And now as we have allowed those messages to come into our hearts, as we have received them with repentance and with thanksgiving, now we got to realize, listen, we have to make a choice of our will that we will do what God is commanding us to do. And that we are not going to make any excuses. And that is the title of this morning's message, simply, No Excuses. You see, Moses had, in chapter 1, we see of Exodus that the children of Israel, God's people, are captive. They are in captivity to the Egyptians and a rough life at that, slavery to the Egyptian people and to Pharaoh. And we see that in chapter 1. And then we see chapter 2, we see God's grace coming in, even though His people deserved captivity, and that's where He put them. But now we see His grace because of His covenant. He had made a promise to them. And we see that at the end of chapter 2, if you look in your Bibles there in verse 23, it says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage." And look at verse 24. "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." So you see God's grace coming in through chapter 2. And so now we've seen the captivity in chapter 1, His grace coming for deliverance in chapter 2. And now He's going to call someone, and that someone is a man by the name of Moses, to bring His people out of bondage. He's calling forth a leader, and He's going to give him a responsibility to deliver the children of Israel, and we're going to see His response. Now, coming up into where we are in chapter 3, you remember Moses had fled Egypt at the age of 40 because he murdered someone. He murdered an Egyptian for abusing the Hebrew there, and the violence that he saw and witnessed, he reacted with anger. And he murdered someone, and he fled. He murdered an Egyptian because the Pharaoh was going to come after him, and he fled. And so, of course, he fled, and he became a shepherd in Midian. And he was there for 40 years, and where he met his wife and lived there. So now he's at the age of 80 years old, and now God is going to visit him by the burning bush, and He's going to have a message for him. He's going to have a call for him. He's going to give him a responsibility. And we're going to see how Moses responds to this and what we can learn from Moses' response. You know, Moses responded like we do many times, if we're all honest. Many times we respond with excuses, don't we? Of why we can't do what the Lord is asking us to do. And I believe we got some things to learn from him. And I like what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good at anything else." And that is so true. We can make excuses of why we can't do what God expects us to do and have every reason in the world, or we can just man up, take ownership, and say, "You know what? That's my responsibility, and by God's power and grace, I'm going to do it." And that's what I want to encourage you here with this morning. You know, I want to give three excuses what Moses brought up. Three excuses that Moses brought up at the calling of God upon his life that are even commonly used even today. We see there in verse 11, he says, after God came to him and appeared to him and called him, Moses said, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You notice something interesting here, and if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing, church. Moses went from early on in the chapter at the burning of the bush and said, and he said to the Lord, Here am I. That was a phrase of surrender. Here am I, you know, and oh, we will do that, and we should. I'm not going to get down on that. We should say often every day, Lord, here am I. But his here am I went to, who am I? Now, what does that look like with us and for us? You know what it does? You know what it looks like this? It looks like this, Lord, I am your servant. I will do anything you ask me to do. But then when the Lord taps us on the shoulder or speaks to our heart about a responsibility that we have, a lot of times we'll say, well, Lord, me? I? Who am I? So he went from a here am I to a who am I, and this is what takes place. This is an excuse that comes to place. And I believe there are some areas that caused that in Moses' life. You know, we can look through history and look at people that greatly impacted our world. And yes, our world. Our nation and our world. And people that if you look at their life, they were people, I see this pattern, they were people that refused to make excuses. And it's such a challenge to me. I mean, you think of even the name Thomas Edison. What comes to mind when you think of Thomas Edison? Light. The light bulb. But a lot of people don't know the background of Thomas Edison. In his earlier years, you know what his teachers told him as a student? His teachers told him, you are too stupid to learn anything. It's documented. That's what his teachers thought of him. They said to him about his work ethic. You know what they said about his work? That he was criticized that his work was no better. In fact, he was fired from his first two jobs for not being productive enough. He made some mistakes, and then he was fired. And even as an inventor, get this, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. 1,000! This was a man that, if he's like me, I'm telling you right now, at about a number 20, at a number 25 or maybe number 50, I'm like, well, maybe this is just somebody else's calling. You know what I mean? I give it a shot, but then especially you get up to 100 and maybe 250 times. I mean, you would think somewhere along the lines it'd be like, all right, guys, I'm moving on to something else. But 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 times. Before he got what he was going for. And I want to tell you something, people. That is what it will take for us to succeed. It will take us a spirit of not giving up. A spirit of making no excuses to realize that there is a God in heaven that's got a plan for my life and your life, and he will fulfill it, he will work it, if I will allow him to. No excuses. No excuses. Let me give you these quickly. Number one, I believe his first excuse, I believe, was as a result of insecurity. Insecurity. You know, the definition of insecurity is not confident about yourself or your ability to do things well. Insecurity is quite frankly, an incapacitating characteristic to the Christian life. It simply will handicap you. It will handicap me, the sin of insecurity. And I want to tell you, folks, we all face it. We all face it where there is some weakness in our life, and if we're not careful, we'll be afraid that it gets exposed. And we'll be afraid to just take ownership of it and work on it and let God deal with it and change us to the people He wants us to be. But there is that sin of insecurity, and I can understand, quite frankly, church, why this man would have some of those insecurities. God has called him to go to a people. Now you'll realize, I believe, number one, this insecurity came as a result of his past. I believe he was insecure because of the things he had done in his life. And I believe, church, that Moses was using those things that he had done in his past life, in the history of his life, he was allowing those things to keep him from doing what God was calling him to do. Where do you get that? Well, you'll remember, like I said, in chapter 2, we saw that Moses murdered someone out of anger. The sin of murder, the sin of anger. He murdered someone. And so now he's insecure because God is asking him to go back to the very place where he murdered someone, where people will probably remember perhaps of who he was or have heard of him in some way, in some passing. I don't know, but he was insecure about that, I'm sure. He was afraid of the repercussions there of going back because of his past. But not only was he a murderer, but I want to tell you, listen, we all will fall into these categories if we're honest. I think Moses was insecure because he knew God remembered. And what he experienced, he was a whiner. He complained. Remember the things that God was gonna ask him to do. He didn't want to do it. When God was gonna call him, and of course he wanted Aaron to help. He wanted some help, and he just couldn't do it. And so there was some complaining there, and there was perhaps something there in his spirit that just said, you know what, God's not gonna use me. He knows where I've been. He knows my spirit right now and my current heart. I'm afraid. I'm fear. I'm insecure. But you know, another thing that I believe brings with insecurity here is just, again, things that he had done as a mistake in his own life. Even during, we see here in our passage through 3 and 4, the mistakes that were made, but also when he was supposed to have the circumcision of his son and his wife had to end up stepping in and do it and basically saved his life, God's judgment was about to fall on him. And this is a man that was supposed to take leadership and was supposed to do that on his own, but his wife stepped in and helped, and God had mercy. And I want you to know that I'm sure that was on the top of his mind thinking, you know what? I've been negligent. I was a murderer. Listen, I'm just out here in the desert. I can't do this. I've been a shepherd for 40 years. This is not for me. And there was some insecurity there. And because of some of those insecurities, it just kind of rolled right down into his very being and his person. You know, we'll see here in a minute too, you know, as a person, you know, what some excuses he used? He said, I'm unqualified. Lord, I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. I I'm unqualified. You know what else? He probably thought, I'm unreliable. I'm unreliable. I can't go deliver these people from Egypt. I'm an unreliable individual. You saw what I did there in Egypt. You saw what I've been doing. You see me now. I'm an unreliable individual. And also, you know, I'm sure a person that struggles with insecurity, they have a tendency to think that they're unwanted. They have a tendency to think they're unwanted or unneeded. Well, I want to tell you something, church. God wants you. God wants you. And He wants to use you. Just like He wanted to use Moses, and He will use Moses. But you see here that Moses just had a spirit of insecurity, and it caused him to make excuses. And I believe that we too can see that we have a tendency to be insecure in our lives and to make excuse why we can't have godly homes, or why you can't be a godly husband or a godly wife or a godly teenager or a godly young person, a godly grandparent. We can make excuses because of maybe some mistakes we've had. Maybe we're insecure. But listen, let the past be the past. Let it be under the blood. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you something, dear friend. If you're a born-again child of God, you let your past be under the blood. Amen. and let God give you the victory that He wants to give you for today and the days ahead. Do not dwell on your past. Do not dwell on your mistakes. Listen, it will bring a spirit of insecurity in your life that will handicap you. And you do not want to do that, my dear friend. You know what God says about you, dear friend? You know what God says about you? Psalm 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. He says, how great is the sum of them. That was the psalmist talking about the thoughts of God towards himself. And that's no different for you. God's thoughts towards you, dear friend, are precious. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. And He's wanting to take you and use you as He did Moses. But then there was that idea of insecurity. Moving on, we see, number one, there was the excuse of that came from insecurity. But then, number two, I want us to see there was an excuse because of the impossibility of what he was facing. Look there in verse 11 in our verse again. It says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? All right? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel. There were two groups of people. There was one person in a group of people here that Moses noticed right off that were going to be an impossibility. Number one, this wicked Egyptian king Pharaoh. Mean rascal. No mercy. Already, Moses thinking he already had a reputation in that with that crowd of being a murderer and murdering one of the Egyptians. And here God's asking him, you go back and you're going to go to Pharaoh. You're talking about an impossibility in his mind, in his heart, thinking, you're asking me to do what? And then not only that, church, but get this, God is not only saying you're going to go back to a man, a king, and you're going to talk to him, but then there's going to be a group of people that are going to be a bunch of complainers. They're going to be whiners. And yes, you're going to go to them and you're going to deliver them and they're going to listen to you. You know what? He was thinking, man, this is an impossibility. I don't see how in the world this is going to happen. And not only that, if to make matters worse from a human perspective, and I don't know about you, but this probably would have just straight up deflated me. And if I had any desire to do this for the Lord, if I was in Moses' place, this probably would have got me. And he said, oh, by the way, this Pharaoh you're going to go to, I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden his heart where he won't listen to you for a while. But you know, this impossibility of the people that he was going to be working with. Get this, church. We will make excuses not to do what God wants us to do because we will point at other people. God, you don't know this person's life. You don't know how he or she treats me. You don't know what they think of me. You don't know what they say to me. Hey, can you listen? That's us many times. We'll make excuses why we cannot do our part in the family and in life as a born-again believer because we will say, well, God, I think this would work, but that right there is going to be a problem. Hey, let God take care of that problem. You just do what you are called to do. Be who you are, be who God has called you to be, and you let God handle the Pharaohs of your life. You let God handle that group of people that might be rebelling against you. You deal with them in a way that God has given you the liberty to, but God will ultimately take care of that. Do not use that as an excuse. It's easy to point the finger and say, I can't do this because you don't know the situation in my life. But you know what? That is just an excuse. That is just an excuse to not go forward to what God is calling you and me to do. So we see that there is the insecurity. We see that there's the great impossibility, the obstacle that lies before him of Pharaoh actually listening to him and the children of Israel actually listening to him to come out of this bondage. But then thirdly and lastly, we see this excuse because of his inability. because of his inability. Look over in chapter 4 in Exodus. And it says here in verse 4, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Okay, there it goes back to that impossibility of them listening. And then look at verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it," like I would have done too. And then verse 4, it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand." Church, do you see here Moses was making an excuse of his inabilities? But you know what God was telling him? Listen, it is time for you to face your fears. Not only did he ask him, "What is in your hand?" That's basically saying, listen, you just take what I've given you, the basics that you have, and I'm going to do supernatural power through that. The supernatural power is not going to come from what's in your hand. It's going to come from me. But I'm going to use what you have in your hand. And by that, because God did that, he was able to face his fears, and he did that. He grabbed the snake. He grabbed the snake, and it was something that turned into a rod, and it was a miracle that God was proving to him that God was going to use him in a mighty way. And he said, "What is that in your hand?" And look what he did. God showed him. And he goes on to the next miracle to prove to him that what the Lord was doing. He used the hand with leprosy. He said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand," in verse 4, and "take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Okay, and then verse 5. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." And then verse 6, "And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh." Hey, listen, you know what this shows me? We just got to simply do what God is telling us to do and let Him do the changing. God does the changing. God does the miracle. God does the supernatural power that we cannot. And I'm telling you now, the battle we're facing in our homes against the world and Satan and our own flesh, our own selfish desires, listen, it will only come by a supernatural work of God's Spirit. But we have to take what we have. What do we have? What are the tools that God has given you and me in this Christian life? Where I can not make excuses and I can see victory in my life. Well, I want to tell you, first of all, what He's given me. He's given me His Word. The Word of God is a tool. It's in my hand. It's in your hand. It's in your homes. It's in our cars. It's all around us. It's in our radios. We have a tool that God has given us, and it's called the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's a tool that God has given us. God has given us His church, this local church. This church is a tool of the Lord God that He has given to reach the world with the gospel. It's what He commissioned. We have each other to encourage each other, to uphold each other, to love each other, to support each other. It's a tool that God has given. He's given us individual gifts. You have a gift that I don't. I have a gift that you don't. We all have individual gifts as the Holy Spirit gives us, and it's a tool that God will use for victory. God gives you brothers and sisters in Christ. He gives you the personality that you have. He's given you these things to use as a tool for His glory and to get victory, and they are not to be used as excuses. He could have used that as an excuse, don't you think? He could have just kept on fleeing from that snake. He said, I don't want anything to do with that. But we are not to neglect the tools that God has put into our hands, and then the ability, the supernatural work, will take these tools that we have, and that is the Holy Spirit. He will take them and use them in our life and to guide us to have the victory that we long for without excuse. You know, he said he didn't have the ability. I like what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we are. Earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We don't want... Hey, it's not of us. That's the point of this message. We can make excuses. Why are we making excuses? Because we're thinking that the power depends on us. We've convinced ourselves we can't do something because of our past or because of our present or because of impossibilities in the future. We get caught up in that. But listen, my friend, the Word of God is clear. You are simply to yield yourself, present yourself, take a step of obedience. Do not make excuses, and the power of God will be fresh upon your life. I know, Father, that I'm speaking to. You've made some mistakes. You're not a good father. Mother, I know the feelings you get many times. You're not a good mother. Children, teenagers, I know that you get that feeling at times. I'm just not a good child. I'm not a good teenager. And guess what? You know, as your pastor, I have those feelings too. I'm just not a good pastor. I'm not a good father. Listen, I understand those feelings, and guess what? God knows that. But in spite of that, God still wants to use you. Isn't that something to rejoice in, church? That with all your weaknesses and all your fallacies and all your mistakes, God Almighty is still wanting to use you. Do not let those things put you in bondage. Do not make excuses because of your weaknesses. If you will realize your weakness is actually your strength, because your weakness will push you and lead you closer to God Almighty. It will make you truly dependent if you don't make excuses. But you can excuse your weaknesses all day long. Well, that's just who I am. Oh, well, that's just my past. Well, da 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 da. That's when your weakness works against you. But if you'll say, God, I've messed up. Lord, I'm weak. I can't get victory. I'm coming to you. And I want you to sincerely, God, to give me the victory I so desperately need in my home, in my life, in my workplace, in my church. God, we need you. That is what God is looking for. And thankfully, Moses did go. And even when he bucked, and didn't want to do it the way God wanted him to, God still used him. He still went forward. And he did deliver the people. God delivered the people through him. And then they saw the Red Sea parted and so on in the wilderness journeys. God used him. Listen, he was a failing man. He was a weak man. And hey, listen, why don't we all just say, listen, can't we all consider ourselves in the Moses Club? Don't you think that? But I want you to say you're in the Moses Club, but look what God did with Moses. And He wants to do the same exact thing with you. A man by the name of Aaron Ralston detailed his nightmare. Can't even imagine his nightmare of an 800-pound boulder that fell on his arm, pinning it to a canyon wall in a remote area in Utah. This is May 1st, 2003. As I read about it, I could not believe what I heard and read following that account. What this man did, who was alone, he had no choice. It was one or two choices. He did have a choice. He would either stay there pinned under that 800-pound boulder and die, starve to death, thirst to death, or he would have to cut his arm off. And the little pocket knife that he had, he did. He severed his arm with a pocket knife, rappelled down 70 feet, and got to help. Now you think about that. That man, he could have made excuses. Well, I'm done. I'm caught. But he had to make a sacrifice. And folks, I'm telling you, there's going to have to be some sacrifices made. You're going to have to be willing to make some sacrifices. Perhaps something that's got you in bondage, something you're using as an excuse in your life of why you can't do something. And God is saying, you can do it. I'm going to do it through you. And for my glory, I want to use you. You know, that man escaped because he didn't make an excuse. Yes, he lost an arm in it, but he didn't give up on life. You know, that's a pretty serious illustration. But let me end with a more of a positive illustration of something that I'm thankful for, especially as a Baptist preacher. Does anybody remember or recall the name Harlan David Sanders? Amen, Brother Ricky? That's Colonel Sanders, folks. KFC. Fried chicken. Let me tell you a little something that a lot of people don't know about him. This man, perhaps better known as Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken, Sanders had a hard time selling his chicken at first. Didn't nobody want to buy Colonel's chicken. But you know what about old Colonel? He had the most famous secret recipe of his chicken. You know how many times it was rejected? 1,009 times he tried to submit his recipe for fried chicken to restaurants around the nation. 1,009 times. I'm so glad that man didn't give up. I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I like the crispy, amen. Original's okay, but I like the crispy. But you see where I'm saying here? Here's a man, again, that just had a recipe for fried chicken. But you know what we see in this man's life who just made millions and millions of dollars? The company's still in. Man, they got KFC in Africa. Can you believe, folks, because you know why? He did not make excuses. He didn't say, well, I better just go on to burgers. Oh, I better just go on to something else. No, he kept on at it. He said, I'm going to get this. And that's what God's children need to say. We're going to get this. By God's grace and Him working in our lives, we're going to get this. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd take the message and use it in the hearts of Your children here. Lord, I do pray that You would help us not to make excuses. It's so easy to. It's so easy to point to a past or present impossibilities or an unknown future. But Lord, help us to realize that we must entrust ourselves totally unto the Lord God. And allow You to show Your power and demonstrate Your power as You did to Pharaoh and as You did to the children of Israel. Help us to realize You want to do the same exact thing. For You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, I believe that You are looking to do a mighty work in this church and in the families of our church. And I pray today, Lord, that You would encourage them and encourage me, Lord God. Encourage us not to make excuses, but to go forth in the power of Almighty God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps I'm speaking to someone that you're making excuses even up to this day of why you should not be saved. I'm perhaps talking to a church member or a visitor you've been putting off because you've been making excuses. Maybe it's because, well, maybe tomorrow. Or maybe I've done too many wrong things. Or maybe people laugh at me. You have making excuses one after the other. But maybe tomorrow, maybe this morning, you will hear the voice of God saying, no more. No more excuses. You come. I will take you as you are because I love you. You say this morning, I need to get saved. I need for God to save me. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And I ask you to pray for me, preacher. Would you just lift up your hand? You're saying, no more excuses in my heart. I know this is a decision I need to make. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to lift it up high enough so I can pray for you. Anybody else like that? Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Lord bless you. God bless you, sister. Anybody else? Saying, I'm tired of fighting this. I'm tired of these things and these doubts in my life and making excuses. And this is something I feel like I just truly need to do. Anybody else? Please don't be afraid. Please don't be ashamed. Everyone here loves you, but especially the Lord loves you. Is there anybody else you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved, and I need some counsel. I need you to pray for me. Would you please lift your hand up? If you hadn't already lifted your hand, please lift it up high enough so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Listen, don't resist the Spirit, dear friend. I'm asking this so I can pray for you, and I am here in just a moment. Is there anybody else like that? You've been making excuses of why you shouldn't lift your hand or why you shouldn't come forward. Can I say today, stop it. Don't make any more excuses. Say, I'm going to be real with the Lord, and I'm going to make my struggles real. Would you show me by lifting up your hand? Anybody else? I'm going to close it here in just a second. Oh, okay. Perhaps the rest of you, I'm speaking to some people that are still making excuses. Still making excuses of why you cannot have a victorious Christian life. Perhaps why you can't be a godly husband or a godly wife. Young person, perhaps you're making excuses why you can't be a godly teenager when you truly need to step out and be the leader God's calling you to be. Stop making excuses. Grandparents, perhaps you're making excuses why you don't spend time with your grandchildren anymore, or why you don't call them and encourage them and pray for them. Listen, let's do what God's calling us to do. Here in a moment, when we have an invitation to Him, I'm going to have you stand. If you feel that you need counsel today about salvation, you're not sure if you're saved and you want to come forward to get some counsel, we'll have a lady to go with a lady, and we will have a man go with a man or a young man to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If that's you, I will invite you to come forward during the invitation and we will be ready. And then for you believers here that are living in defeat because you're making excuses, don't be like Moses in the sense of making the excuses he did. Realize that that is a fallacy, that you got to trust the Lord God with your opposition, with your obstacles. The Lord has a plan for you, and He's going to show His power if you will let Him. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Mike's going to lead us in a hymn. You come if God has spoken to you.